Welcome back to the Fresh Squeeze podcast with Nadine. I'm Nadine, and this episode is on insecurities. I invited two of my dearest friends to join in on the conversation. They're both educators, and they both have insecurities that they have faced and are overcoming. And I hope you enjoy. So yeah, we're going to be talking about insecurities today and ways to overcome it. And I guess my question to y'all is, what is insecurities?
Insecurities are things that you deal with. I think nobody can ever say they don't have insecurities. I think some people may have them. They may not want to acknowledge them, or they may act out for certain reasons, or they may deal with issues of inadequacy. And those are insecurities. When you feel unqualified, when you feel like you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, when you feel like you don't have what you need to do the job, anything that makes you feel like you're not able to accomplish something, that is an insecurity. And some people's insecurities are stronger than others. Some people, I feel like if you notice them, it's easier to pinpoint them. But insecurities are when you don't feel good enough in a certain area or even as a person.
What about you, Rhonda? What do you think insecurities are?
The definition of insecurity.
She pulled it up.
Is uncertainty or lack of confidence. That's what insecurity is. Honest, I think the insecurity is holds you back. Mm-hmm. I think the insecurity is another way of fear.
Yeah,
that's good.
In some way,
that's good.
Yeah, and just talking about productivity, insecurities keeps us from being productive and doing things that we're assigned to do. Like, it'll keep us from fulfilling assignments or doing what we're called to do by God. And so it gets in the way of us being our best selves and living the life that God designed for us. And so just based on our experiences, because I know I still deal with insecurities, and there are some insecurities that I have faced, and there are others that I'm currently facing, and I know some other insecurities that'll come up that I'll have to face. And my two friends here, I've seen you guys face your insecurities, just like knowing you in the past 7 years, seeing you do the things paying attention to what you do now versus what you were doing when I met you is completely different. Like, y'all are completely different individuals. Mm-hmm. And so I know that you faced insecurities in your life. And I just kind of, want to talk about your personal stories and what you faced and how you overcome your insecurities.
Like, what level of insecurity? You want like the small insecurity?
Whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
Or you want like the big insecurity? Let's
whatever.
Let's
you know, I mean, let's be real. We've been transparent for the past 4 days now, being on panels and like talking to people and just sharing our heart.
Look, let's go with the biggest insecurity. Let's jump out there.
Okay. Let's do it.
Go ahead, you jump first.
Insecurity that is huge for me is I was born with one of my legs bigger than the other. And no, it's not like, y'all probably like, oh, you probably thinking like it's the regular. Mm-hmm. Like, people be like, oh, one of my legs longer than the other. No, it's the real deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's called Milroy. And so one of my legs are completely bigger than the other. And so I stopped showing my legs at sixth grade. When I was in sixth grade, and I remember my mom used to try to offer me money to walk to the corner with shorts on and, not wearing skirts. I stopped wearing all that at sixth grade. Mm-hmm. So, wow. I mean, you buy it from me, you lucky if you find it.
Yeah.
Because I was not putting it on. I just didn't like the way it looked to me. And it was another reason that I fought, when I was younger, to look at it or to ask questions. I'd be like, ask me something else, I'm punching your face. Because it was just something that I just didn't. Okay, maybe extreme, but it was just my way of defending
yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, it just kept me locked and bound. And then when I realized I got older, even dealing with men, it was always like, I didn't like it for myself. So I would put that weight on them and automatically feel like a man wouldn't like it, you know, and just struggle with that.
That's good. Well, what about you, Courtney? Like, what's that one thing, that one insecurity that has kind of kept you bound?
So many. for me, I think one of the insecurities, and I always go back to it, but I think that it started there, was lack of a father. And I didn't know that that was an insecurity, but I felt like I always wanted people to validate me, tell me I was good enough, or I was pretty enough, or I was cute enough. And I had a big bottom lip and I had big eyes, and I was like, I'm not cute, or I'm bigger than everybody else. So I always dealt, like, at a young age with my weight. I was chubby. And so I compare my weight to other people's weight, and thinking that they were prettier, they were cuter because of their size. So it started out just a lot of comparison, and it went, you know, if you don't acknowledge it, it'll continue to grow.
Right.
And so, I think, and always wanting that affirmation, wanting someone to tell you you're pretty, wanting someone to tell you that you're beautiful. And I think that's something that I really needed. And, I think, you know, not having that, I sought for validation, with anybody that would give it to me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you think I'm pretty? Oh, you think I'm cute? And so the insecurities, they start, you know, at a young age. It started probably five, the earliest I can remember, not thinking that I was pretty, not thinking I was cute, not thinking I was beautiful and all that. And so when I got older, when it came into relationships, you know, people say you date to the level of your self-esteem. And I remember, like, somebody telling me they thought I was cute and we were going to go together. And I was like, he thinks I'm cute. Mm-hmm. And me, I thought he looked better than me. Like, when you have, like, for real deep-rooted insecurities, your mind tells you things that aren't always true. So right. I felt like, you know, I should be lucky that I had a boyfriend. I looked at my friends and they had boyfriends and I didn't have a boyfriend. And I think that made me feel like I was unworthy. Mm-hmm. And so it was always this issue of feeling like, am I enough? And so from that, it went into relationships. I always felt like I had to give you something, or I had to feel like, make you feel a certain way to make me feel like I was deserving to be with that person. And so, then it came to a thing of not wanting to be alone. Like, the insecurity, like, they go deeper. The more you continue to feed them, they go deeper. So now you've been with people in relationships for so long, you don't know how to be without them. And you think that you're not worthy, or you're not valuable enough, you know, if outside of being in a relationship. So you think that your dating, you know, gives you a level of confidence.
The funny thing about insecurities is that if you feed them long enough, and you avoid them long enough, they will get in a way of you being productive. In the next segment, we begin discussing ways and steps that people can take to overcome insecurities. So let's get into it. Number one, acknowledge it.
I mean, I didn't really probably start acknowledging it probably till I was like maybe 18 or so, or knowing that, yo, there's a problem here. there's a pattern you got going on. But I didn't really realize it until I got older and, you know, thank the Lord, you know, he started showing me some things about myself. And it's hard trying to confront things like that, especially when they've been deep rooted for so long. And so you start uncovering that stuff.
So true.
And start revealing that stuff. That stuff hurts, man. Nobody likes to talk about, you know, your most sensitive areas. Like, yo, I got insecurities. Right. Nobody wants to talk about it. But I find that when you are able to admit it and acknowledge it and realize it and confront it, that's when you're able to find ways to defeat some of these insecurities. Some are always going to be there, but the more you're able to recognize them, you're able to find ways to realize when they start arising, when you start having those, oh gosh, you're able to recognize them and notice them, and then that gives you ways to overcome them.
Like, at what point did you acknowledge that for your leg it was an insecurity?
I think I would say late years, maybe my 20s. I think I realized that because I was always like, you know, I don't care what other people say.
Yeah.
You know, I was high and I don't care what nobody's saying. If they do say something, I would get them.
Let me just say, she still is, but she fight differently. Yeah. She fight differently. But back in the day, Rhonda was a fighter. I used to, you know, like when I first met Rhonda, I was like, man, I'm so glad I met you after Christ because you would have got me in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I would have enjoyed every minute of it.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's cool. And so I had to realize within me, you know, my spiritual mom told me one day, she was like, well, if it don't matter, you know, if it don't matter what other people say, you know, why are you going for people when they say something? I'm like, because they don't need to say it.
You know, straight.
I mean, I just had to come to grips with that not only did I not like it, but whether you was okay with it or not, in my mind, you still didn't like it.
Right.
So you remember the first time y'all seen my leg, you was like, oh, okay. And I was like, what you mean? do you see this? And y'all were like, it's not that deep. And I'm like, that's because you don't have one. You don't have one. And it was like, I started thinking about it. I'm like, yo, this thing is really deep. This thing is like really deep. And I remember being younger and just going to the pool and wanting to get in the water and thinking about like, oh, the distance between this chair and that pool is a long way.
Yeah.
And my brother would walk over and I mean, we just had plans. Like I would get on his back and he would jump in with me, you know, to avoid the crowd. And I just remember, and I started thinking back on that. I'm like, yo, this has really been like my whole life.
You went through a lot.
Just covering it up alone. And it takes too much.
Yeah.
Like I think about all the years and times that I've wasted, you know, on just not loving me properly.
To piggyback on that, like you said, just that confidence, the time you wasted. I'm thinking, the time I cheated myself so many times, you know, because you just didn't know your worth. You just didn't know how valuable you were. You just didn't know you're valuable. And I think when you get that, I think when I really started to like hone in on like, I'm valuable. Like, because when you're used to looking at yourself as being, I will say for me, not good enough or, you know, I have this, you know. That changes your whole self-image of yourself.
Yeah.
And so when you think back, you're like, dang, I spent all this time, you know, running through hoops and all this stuff, you know, and I wish I would have, like, caught on to this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, God doesn't waste experiences.
Absolutely.
Number two, process it. As far as processing, if I could add, is having conversations with people that know you. Right. That can tell you about yourself. Like,
yes,
bro, you guys being my friends, you'll, you know, oftentimes tell me, you know, this is what I love about you. And, you know, I would bless you. Be like, I don't see that. I don't see that about myself. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. I don't see what you see. And so like, if there's a disconnect between what you're telling me and what you see about what I see about myself, that's an insecurity.
That's
I remember December I went, you know, started counseling. And I went to see my therapist and I went in for like a different issue. I went in for depression. And then, you know, just her assessment of me, she wrote me, gave me a letter to give my doctor. And she's like, the letter was like, yeah, Nadine has body dysmorphia and low self-esteem and depression. I'm like, what?
I don't see that. I don't know that.
First of all, like,
what is that? First of all,
like, and so I looked it up. I'm like, oh, you see yourself differently. You see your, you have an unhealthy view of your body self-image. And like what you look like. I'm like, no, I don't. And then the whole like low self-esteem, like me, Nadine, like,
me,
you know,
Nadine.
I often call myself Beyonce, like. How could I like have low self-esteem?
What is Beyonce doing?
Right, what does Beyonce do?
And so she got insecurities too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so as I continued with like just healing and you know, therapy and just like spending time with God and allowing him to tell me, like show me, like you know me more than anybody. Tell me about myself. And so he just started showing me, like, yeah, you see yourself completely different than mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. I see mm-hmm. you and how I view you. And I'm like, and I started to see the body dysmorphia. Like I would take pictures and I'm like, I hate this. Like, I hate how I look yeah. in pictures. Mm-hmm. And then like, it trips me because when I take pictures of people and they be like, I don't like taking pictures. I don't like taking pictures. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this picture and I'm looking at you. I'm like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. But it's the very same thing that I had. Yep. You got yeah. a very poor mm-hmm. self-image of yourself. And then I really had to like learn and then like let that seep into my spirit that, you know, I am the Imago Dei. I am created in God's image and the likeness mm-hmm. of God.
Come on.
And he is beautiful. Yes, like, yes, and he yes, created yes. me to be just like him. I'm beautiful too. Like, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And yes. so like, I think processing it is also having conversations with people that know you, that can see you from the point of view that you're not able to see yourself from.
Yes. Yes.
And really spending, like for me, spending time with the person who created me, you know me best. So tell me about myself.
I will say that, we always blame stuff on social media, but
social media is a devil.
Social media, you look at somebody else and I'm like, oh, look at that. Don't post that picture of me. I look yeah. fat. Yes. Don't tag me in that picture. I don't like how I look. Comparing. You look good.
Yeah.
Don't put me in this. And so you get to see somebody else. So you may want to make their image your image. And I feel like, you know, the word of God should be what you should, you know, want to compare yourself to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think this social platform part, like, before that, I think a lot of people probably didn't, they weren't dressing up to take a picture. They weren't, you know,
just living
getting
life.
Their hair done yeah. to take a picture. Like, you just got your hair done to get your hair done. Whoever sees you, see you. Not yeah. who sees you. Your 100 and blah, blah followers see you. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that really does affect the way that we view ourselves. And I think about just like teenagers now and like just the peer pressure we have, but then the peer pressure you have, you know, to post something and to present this beautiful self, sometimes you don't feel like that.
Yeah. Number three, face it. Public speaking, like speaking period, is an insecurity of mine because, you know, I'm surrounded by so many wise people and people like I'm sitting between people who like speak like in front of hundreds of people and are put on digital platforms and like are really good at ministering, you know, little me with this insecurity of mine of just like speaking because English wasn't my first language. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having to like living in a household where I'm speaking two languages and I'm having to go back and forth with Haitian Creole and English and whatnot. And then in addition to that, I feel like I have a Moses complex where, you know, Moses, you know, had... Well, we believe that Moses had a speech impediment, mm-hmm. you know, where he was insecure and he didn't want to, you know, speak. God was assigning him to do something and he was afraid to do it because he's like, God, me, why yeah, me? Because I can't speak. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I feel like I relate to Moses in a sense where I'm like, I can't, you know, I'm not eloquent enough. You know, I'm not articulate where I can't yes. speak. And then on top of that, having ADHD where, like, you know, like I'll be speaking and then my thought leaves me like, mm-hmm. and so for me, this podcast is facing that insecurity. And like, we just did a singles panel mm-hmm. on Friday. And yes. so like sitting on a panel for like the first time and having to speak in front of these people, like was a way for me to be like, okay, you got this issue, but you don't have to face it. Like, you're yeah. not going to grow if you don't face it. And so that was something that I've recently done and have been doing. So what are some of the things that you guys done to face like your insecurity head on?
It's weird. I've always got my feet done, but I'm big on my feet looking cute. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do that for others. I did that for me.
Right.
Excuse me. I did that for me. So now, I make sure I show them. So I'm like today, it's looking rough, but I got on my dad flip-flops. So I'm like, whatever it takes, these toes gonna be out.
Yeah.
Yes. That's one way. I tried to, I went through a tough season. I don't know if you remember that, Courtney. You remember buying me a dress? Mm-hmm. Or giving me a dress? And I went through a tough time where I was just crying about like, I'm trying aww. To push out. And my friends were buying me dresses. I came home to notes You know, my sister would put sticky notes on my window and my mirrors at home, just reminding me that you are beautiful and wonderfully made. And I brought people in on my journey as a way of accountability.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's nice outside. Why do you have on jeans? Because I want to wear jeans. And so they would come back. No, let's try again. Let's go home. Let's get you in the dress. I don't own shorts. Mm. I did not own any dress unless they were like, long. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, it keeps you accountable. Yeah. So my way of facing it was opening that door of accountability. I brought in my closest friends, those who knew me, and have my best interests at heart. Those I trust totally. It's like, you know, you will buy me a dress and a short, and I'm like, that's going in the back of the closet. I mean, so now they hold me accountable. But have you wore that dress that mm-hmm. I spent my money on? And I would never waste someone's money.
Mm-hmm.
That's big to me too. So that's a few ways that I face it. I brought people in to keep me accountable, and I was willing to submit and listen. That was one way. And then my other way was just making sure that I kept my word on when they put demands on my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm grown. I could be like, I don't have to listen to you.
But yeah.
I know they have my best interests at heart.
True.
So that's one way I invited my life. I opened them up, you know, and invited them into my personal mm-hmm. life. And I listened when they said stuff to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't feel like I was strong enough within myself to make those decisions. Because I would come up with plenty of excuses. And my excuses be legit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
I started Memoirs of an Insecure Girl. I made my title Memoirs of an Insecure Girl. Because I think sometimes we try and cover up insecurities. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to. Memoirs meaning the record of, meaning the recording of. And so it was me talking about insecurities that I have dealt with in the past. And then. Finding, you know, the greater meaning behind it. You know, what, Lord, what are you teaching me behind this? And so for me, that was kind of how I got through. And then I started, for me, it was dating. So I started putting a standard on who I dated and just not letting people, you know, treat me like I wasn't worth it and not putting myself through stuff like that. So you have to make those adjustments. And so for me, it was telling people, sharing my story with people. And then I found that normally when you start sharing your story, people are more likely to come and tell you, hey, I've been dealing with this.
This too,
And so you become a safe place for them to, you know, be transparent and share where they are.
Yes, ma'am.
That's good. Well, this was great. I thank you guys for being so open and transparent. And I thank you for listening and sitting in a conversation between me and my friends. I hope that you take the time to acknowledge your insecurities and you process it and do whatever it takes to face it so that you can be your most productive and best selves. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Until next time.
Toodles.